Time for our first ever edition of Make a Difference Mondays on The Money Show. We're going to run this through until almost Christmas Eve. And we're going to be telling some great stories of companies that are spending some of their profit on making a difference. Every week between now and Christmas, going to be profiling a range of corporate social investment initiatives, see how they work and what they hope to achieve, what they do achieve. And hopefully it will inspire you in your business to either do things differently from what you're doing already or to start a CSI initiative, incorporate staff, change the way you do things. Let's find out from some of the most successful and most effective CSI programs in the country how they do it. And I don't care how big or how small your CSI initiative is. I want it to be smart. I want it to be challenging. I want it to be thoughtful. And I want it to change lives. And if you can do that, contact at 702.co.za. First one is Thabisa Mkhwanazi, and it would Public Affairs Director for Africa at KFC. How old is your Ad Hope program, Thabisa?
Good evening, Bruce, and thank you so much for having us tonight. It's such a lovely initiative. KFC Ad Hope is 9 years old. So it started off in 2009.
And has it always been you spend $50 on a meal and you add R2? It's always been that R2 amount, hasn't it?
It has, and I think where we really transformed the idea was in 2009, where we added it on as a menu item. So we literally had this crazy idea of what if we used our store footprint, which is something unique to us and where we could reach a whole lot of different parts in South Africa, actually create a CSI initiative that allows us to partner with our franchisees, but also partner with customers to make a difference. And that's really what was in the idea. And how do we make it easy? So we wanted something that was relevant in terms of the cause that it stood for, and hunger is one of the most biggest challenges we face as a nation. We wanted something easy, which was where the R2 idea came from, that as people come in and out of our restaurants, they could add hope by adding R2 onto their meal.
Have you ever considered upping it to $5 at all?
We've had lots of discussions in terms of, you know, is R2 still what it is then? The reality of it for us is the R2 domination, as the value lessens over the years, in a sense, makes it easier for people to participate in Ad Hope. From 2009, where we raised 6.2 million rand from R2 donations, to up in 2016, we raised over 38 million rand in the R2 donation. So we've seen the continuous growth because it's so easy to do. Often we encourage people to add more than R2. So often we'll say, if you want to feed, last week actually we had a team that came in and bought an ice cream cone and added 2,000 rand.
Don't gloss over that, Thabisa, not just for a second. Hold on, because I saw Doug Smart, your boss, tweet a copy of the till slip. And on there it says, one cone, 4.95 rand, Ad Hope, 2,000 rand. And I go, hold on a second, that is awesome. Because here's somebody who's
incredible.
Wanted to make a donation and kind of rewarded themselves with an ice cream cone at the same time for doing good.
And I think, you know, there's two things that happened that were really magical in that moment, Bruce. One was that idea of they came into the store and they did it and they wanted to gift 2,000 rand. But the impact on our team members, we had the entire system of everyone sharing this till slip, which is where we got it from the teams were going, this is so exciting when someone makes a trip to make a difference. From that R2 and that tweet, we've had a number of other people, including some people in the business, some people on my team, who kind of that very same evening went, actually, we're going to pay it back too. And they went into a store and they added $400, some people R1,000. But it actually created a bit of a movement of, hey, this R2 multiplied by whatever you want to give is possible. The big numbers for us, Bruce, and what keeps us going in this space is really the idea of the impact of hunger on children. As a nation, we talk a lot about what's missing and what's wrong and what's not working. What we've found in our journey is hope is always stronger than hunger. Even though there's 3.3 million children who go to bed hungry every single day, with the partnership between our franchisees, South Africans, everyday South Africans, and ourselves, because we then contribute over and above that, we get to feed 120,000 children nutritious meals every day. We get to change what their world looks like. So the things we found in the journey, which have blown me away from kind of joining the team in 2005, is we often talk a lot about the impact of hunger on a child's physical development. So you kind of think hungry children in the pictures we all grew up seeing. Sure. The reality is the bigger impact is on their ability, their creative thinking, the way their brain develops, their social skills, their ability to think through different challenges. And as you fill their tummies, you actually allow them to see the world differently. So that's why we keep going.
Okay, now, to be fair, again, this is not a criticism of KFC at all, but this doesn't cost you a vast amount of money. You provide the infrastructure, you provide the collection mechanism, but it's your customers who are making the donations. And my point here is that for anybody running a CSI initiative of any kind, it doesn't have to be a big ticket item for the company, for the corporate, for the franchisee, whoever it might be. You simply can be a conduit for other people's good work. You can give people the mechanism. People often say, how do I help? Well, you know, and you're providing that conduit.
I think we do, and we do both. And I think, you know, it might feel low cost to us. So we always, the last year, we donated over 25 million towards At Hope. We manage the trust, so we carry all the administrative costs around the trust and managing all the money that's come through. It's been almost 400 million rands from 2009 when we started to where we are today, with the combination of the two rands and what we put into it. We fund all the marketing behind it. But you're totally right, Bruce. I think what we've managed to crack in the model is what we call an African-inspired CSI project that actually brings community together with the corporate organization, with business people, which are franchisees, to actually all get around. Our team members do an extraordinary amount of work because they're collecting the donations in our restaurants and the administration of all of that. But you are completely right that I think there's different models and models that work and make it easy for people to make the change they want to see.
Thabisa Mkhwanazi, thank you. Public Affairs Director for Africa at KFC. Thank you for being our first Make a Difference Mondays guest. Let's move on to Kimon Fitidis. Kimon Fitidis, you're not, are you?
Yes, hi, Bruce.
You even sound like him. You even laugh like him.
Yes, exactly.
Are you related to him?
Am I related to who?
To Warren Ingram. I mean, no, to Pavlo Fitidis. Are you related?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm Pavlo's brother.
You're Pavlo's brother. Okay. Yes. Well, let's see if you're much nicer than him. This is very funny. Kimon Fitidis is a member of the CSI committee at PEP. So he works, and you guys run the PEP Academy, and it feeds literally so nicely from what Thabisa has been talking about, that an empty tummy is not does not create an environment in which a mind can work effectively. You're feeding, where they're feeding tummies, you're feeding minds through the PEP Academy. What's the background of this one?
Yeah, that's right, Bruce. So I sit on the PEP Corporate Social Investment Committee, but I'm actually from an organization called Social Innovation, and we help companies put together their corporate social investment programs. So about 12 years ago, PEP approached us, and PEP had always been doing all sorts of, you know, quite a lot of different things in terms of their CSI, but they wanted to do one flagship, significant, big project that could grow over time, and that could also replicate in different parts of the country. So we looked at research which really showed that the transition from foundation phase to intermediate phase is a very difficult year in the life of a child. So the child is transitioning from learning in mother tongue to in grade 3 to learning in English in grade 4. And we find that a lot of children go into grade 4 being taught in English and not being all that familiar with English. So if you can't get through the language, it's very difficult to get to the learning. So what we do at that stage in the intermediate phase is we provide an after-school academy called PEP Academy. And 3 afternoons a week, we provide free afternoon tuition to children all over the country. So this year, we're running 19 academies with about 3,000 children involved. And one day we do English and language, one day we do math, and one day we do arts and drama. But everything that we do is about the language and about helping children build the confidence of the language. So that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
And is this funded from the coffers of PEP? This is a PEP-driven CSI initiative. How do you choose where and how that this happens? Because there is such deep and widespread need for precisely what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, so essentially in a corporate social investment program, you're always looking at breadth versus depth. And this is actually quite a deep program because we go into schools, we run these academies in the premises of schools, after school. At each academy, we have 165 children, and it is in effect its own institution. It becomes its own little school in the afternoons after school. So firstly, we look at which provinces are we going to. And at the moment, we're in Gauteng, in the Western Cape, Free State, and in KwaZulu-Natal. And once we've made that decision, we start looking for schools. And if we're going to go to two new schools in an area, or three or four new schools in an area, we generally look at about 20 schools, because we really need to find the schools that will be the best fit for us. So firstly, the schools need to be big enough, but very importantly, we need to go into schools which are up and running and which have a good management team. Because if the management team can't sustain the school, it'll be very difficult for them to support the after-school academy. So we spend quite a lot of time interviewing principals, you know, even looking at things like the grounds. What do the grounds look like? Is somebody looking after the gardens? What do the kids look like? What do the classrooms look like? And even though we're only going into no-fee schools, you get no-fee schools which are actually, obviously, which are well-run. And those are the ones that we look for.
Kimon Fatidis, thank you, the Managing Director of Social Innovation and also a member of the CSI Committee at PEP. There it is, the PEP Academy. 15,000 kids have been through that particular program. They've got 19 academies operating nationally. They've been going for 10 years. And yeah, they do 2 hours of free tuition three times a week from Hopos 2 to Hopos 4. It really is fabulous to see what people are doing in the world of corporate social investment. There's a really innovative billboard that has been gracing a particular busy corner in Joburg. It was put there by SAB with a different idea. Reintroduce you to a guy who's been a guest on the show before. He's been a shapeshifter. He's speaking for SAB on their behalf. He's the guy who saw that advert and he dreamed a big dream. We'll talk to Vuyo in a moment. We're talking about corporate social investment. We're talking about initiatives that companies are undertaking and giving back and enabling you to give back. And we are highlighting many of these initiatives over the next month here on The Money Show on a Monday night. We're calling it Mad Mondays, Make a Difference Mondays. If you are making a difference, tell us. Contact at 702.co.za. You know him best as the guy who saw the advert, the Hunter advert, and decided he wanted to live the dream. So he created his own business. He nearly went bust. And then he came back. Miles Kubeka. Is Vuyo still going, Miles?
Ah, definitely, Bruce. How are you doing?
So well, so well. Now, listen, you're speaking on behalf of SAB because you're an entrepreneur. They've created this billboard. Where exactly is the billboard? Jan Smuts Avenue and Empire. Where is it?
Yes, it's on Jan Smuts as you're going towards Vega. So it's, you can't miss it. It's big, bright light.
Okay, now, what is the purpose of this billboard that's being funded by SAB?
Well, the whole idea is to put your name in lights as an entrepreneur. And as you know, it's tough enough being an entrepreneur, but then the biggest challenge after you've started your business is market access, is letting the world that know that you exist. So SAB has come up with the idea that, you know what, we'll give a billboard that entrepreneurs can literally, if they meet the simple criteria of having a registered business, they can just text the company name, their name, and what they do, and SAB will put it up on the billboard.
And what's the idea of the value that is this? Because, I mean, people talk about advertising and nobody's got any money for marketing. You know what it's like. What is the sort of perceived value of getting access to this billboard?
You know, I'll tell you a quick personal story of how a billboard impacted me, Bruce. After the IPL way back, I saw this billboard and it was still advertising an old advert of after the IPL had come and gone. So I called the company that had the billboard and I said, look, what do you do? How much is a billboard? They said it's 30,000 rand for 2 weeks. So I promptly hung up and said, thank you. Then I called them the next day when, I mean, it bothered me. It still had old creative on. So I called them and I said, what do you do with old, you know, with the when you've got excess capacity? They said, oh, we'll run in-house ads or we'll keep the old one on. I said, what if I offered to pay for just putting it up, like the creative and putting it up, because there's a cost of putting that vinyl up? And they said, okay, cool. I didn't expect them to agree, and they did. And what that piece of advertisement on that main road did for my business, literally, it increased the sales by 40%. And it cost me a fraction because I was rather, you know, entrepreneurial, I guess.
No, you were cheeky. You were cheeky and you saw a gap and you took it.
Yeah, and it worked. And the funny part is people would come into the store and were so shocked as to comparatively the size of the billboard and the size of the store. You know, they thought, geez, you must have been bigger to afford a billboard.
That Vuyo is a big dreamer.
Big dreamer. So it started a long, long time ago. But the point is, with this billboard, here's now an opportunity for someone to do exactly the same and have the name in light, or the business's name in light.
How many people have jumped at this opportunity?
Well, it's increasing every day. I mean, the closing time for this campaign is in the middle of December. So every day, I think at last count, they were already on about 4,000, if I'm not mistaken. Sure. But it's, yeah.
Okay, people, so if people want to get their name up in lights, what must they do? Just remind us.
So they send in their name and surname, as well as the company's name, what they do. And then they forward the number to 33011. And I think normal SMS rates apply.
3301. Is Voyos up there? Do you get some free
yes,
football time?
Yes, I did. I wouldn't let an opportunity like that pass. In fact, just an interesting note. You're talking to Mike Sherman earlier. He's so real. What he was talking about, been there, done it, and I've got three T-shirts. But interestingly, I went looking for his book. So I get to the bookstore and I say, I got to the part where, because I didn't know his name at the time, and I wanted to buy the book. But it was very, very hard for me to say the title, I must be honest.
No, exactly. It's a difficult title. It doesn't roll off the tongue easily, does it?
But yet it's got such valuable information, so I highly recommend it.
Miles Kubeka, entrepreneur and founder at Vuyos, and he's speaking on behalf of SAB, who have put up this billboard, and you can use it. 3301, registered company, tell them who your name, tell them what you do, and you get free space on a billboard, highly visible billboard near the Vega, and that's Empire and Jan Smuts. Let's do the last one, and it's not an SAB or a Pep or a KFC. You can be a small player and do clever social investing. Emil Alexander, you make popcorn. Emilio's Gourmet Popcorn. You're not a Pep or a an SAB. You're a relatively small business, Emil.
Yes, I am. Yeah, we're relatively small. We started on. Good evening, Bruce, and thank you very much for the opportunity. We're relatively small. Started January 2015. We manufacture high-quality premium gourmet popcorn and popcorn-inspired confectionery known as Popcornology. Basically, what we do is popcorn has just been eaten with salt, and it's the evolution of popcorn, which is the biggest global trend in the snack industry currently in the world. Popcorn is the fastest-growing snack category, gourmet popcorn, and how it's made, whether it's sweet or whether it's savory. So, yes, we introduced it about 3 years ago, January 2015, and it's growing. You know, more people are getting onto it.
You had to borrow the 1,500 rand to start your business.
I literally had to borrow 1,500 rand. I was really in the doldrums. I lost my businesses in 2011. My restaurants, lost everything. Was in the business wilderness for a few years, trying everything. And this is working. So, yeah, and it's also, I'm a foodie, so you know, I'm also kind of getting my passion out there. And most importantly, we don't just sell popcorn. We make people happy.
Ah.
You know, it was a very terrible time of my life, and now I'm doing something that makes me happy and makes other people happy because it tastes really good. So,
Again, CSI is seen as the preserve of big companies. Tell me what, as a small business and from struggling roots, what are you doing?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I come from a poor background. I come from El Dorado Park and Westbury and all these places. So it's always been part of my makeup to help out in my community. And even though we are small, we do two things. One, we do once a year. On January the 19th, we build the world's biggest popcorn donut. We the first people to do a popcorn donut. We literally take caramel popcorn and mold it into a donut shape, dip it into chocolate. Tastes really fabulous. But we make a massive one of about 1.5 meters in diameter. It's really big with chocolate and caramel. Takes us about 6 to 7 hours to make. And yes, and then we slice it up, sell it at our store in Monte Cassino. And the proceeds go to buying stationery for kids in Diepsloot. So this year we sponsored about 250 kids at the Africa Tikkun Center with stationery, you know, pencil cases, rulers and stuff. And you don't know what a big difference it makes to a little, you know, to a second grader and third grader. And then the second thing we do is every month we make a flavor of the month. So we've got like over 50 flavors. And it's, you know, we can't give all the flavors in our store to our customers because it's overwhelming. So what we do is we introduce a different one every month. That proceeds go to buying school shoes for kids in Deep Sloot, and I promise you, it's really heartbreaking when you see these orphans. These are kids who don't have a mother, who don't have a father. You see sadness in their eyes. And, you know, when you just buy them a pair of shoes, you don't know what a big difference it makes. I had broken school shoes as a kid,
yeah.
And I can't imagine not having had parents. So when you give them the school shoes, it's just, you know, it's really that's what our brand is about. It's about making people happy.
Emil,
our customers, but also our community.
Emil, you're a superhero. Well done. Thank you. Emil Alexander at Emilio's Gourmet Popcorn. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to have the scale of a large corporate behind you. You can be Emil Alexander, who runs a small business, who's making ends meet, who's paid back hopefully the 1500 Rand loan, but he's also making a difference in communities by popping popcorn and just thinking differently about the way he does things. If you've got great stories like that you want to share with us, contact at 702.co.za.